dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the break, we'll get back to the calls here on this Knicks therapy session, really, after that disgusting loss yesterday. But you mentioned a little bit with Halliburton. It was what I was talking about before, about the confidence. One thing about Halliburton, when he did the choke sign, I was enraged.
Yeah.
Like, enraged as a fan. Well, I didn't do anything out loud. You know, my wife is sleeping, whatever, it's late. But inside, I was like, you know, enraged. And then you watch him after the game and in the post game. And I hate to even say this, but he's such a nice guy, and he does it with a smile and a laugh, whereas with Reggie, it was okay, because that's the feel back in the 90s. It was personal. It was nasty. There was no smiling and laughing and ha-ha, blah, blah, blah. It was like, you choked, I'm going to rip your heart out, I hate you, you hate us, Knicks versus the Hicks, all that stuff. But with Halliburton, he's such a likable guy and does it with such a smile on his face. We were just watching the replay of him, you know, addressing the media afterward, even him talking about doing the sign. Now, it bothered me. I don't like him as a player. I hate him. But it's hard to not respect him or appreciate him when he does it with a smile on his face.
I've always loved his game. And yeah, he seems very calculated. He seems very much, you know, like a product of the new generation of young players, where they kind of lean into that stuff. And it's less about like vitriol or anger, and it's more about showmanship and, you know, a little psychology. You know, now that could all change with one hard foul. Because if you think about Reggie Miller, now first of all, the 90s were just inherently different, but the headbutt and all the sequence of events in that physicality, you know, with the Davis brothers, Ewing and Mace and Oak, like it was just a different level of intensity and ferocity and physicality. So if a situation like that were to present itself, and it might, in this series, then I think you might see a little bit of a different tone from Halliburton, but it's 2025, and that just doesn't happen much.
Think of it this way. Do you think Halliburton and Brunson hate each other?
No.
Do you think Starks and Reggie did?
Yes. No, it's no question.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, back then, now maybe Ewing and Reggie didn't necessarily hate each other. Starks and Reggie definitely did.
Yep.
I'm not saying now. I'm saying back then they did.
Yeah, and
now,
Larry Johnson and Zoe, they had a real contentious relationship after Charlotte.
Yeah, like we know Ewing and Zoe got along, obviously, from Georgetown, but they still battled. So it's not that you can't have those battles. And Brunson wants to beat the Pacers. Pacers want to beat the Knicks. But there's just, with Halliburton, even though I was enraged when he hit the choke sign, enraged, he does it with such a fun, like, you know, I'm playing a game.
It's,
man,
almost harmless.
Fun. Yes.
Okay, so freeze that image and, you know, make sure that it returns and it hurts him.
Did you see Reggie after the game? Now, okay, before we get into that, what did you think of Reggie on the call last night, on the broadcast? Did you feel?
I thought of you a lot because you're the one who brought this up. Now, when the Pacers were making their run, even though I'm like, all right, we're good, Reggie was like, like you could tell. Now, would he do that if the Pacers weren't playing? Probably would. I didn't think it was incredibly one-sided, but you could also tell that, I mean, you know who he's rooting for.
I mean, I thought Reggie, me personally, did an excellent job of, like, I could feel him not wanting to show any signs of rooting for the Pacers. So I thought I give him credit for that. However, we all know he is a Pacer. We all know he's rooting for the Pacers. And I think it almost hurt him on the broadcast, because there were times where I could feel him almost holding back excitement or second-guessing himself on saying, oh, that should have been a foul, or that was a foul, with the thought, you know, you can't be thinking when you're doing this. You just got to do it.
Yeah, let for it sure. That is true.
He was thinking about not I give him credit because he's at least aware of it, but he was thinking about not wanting to come off as Mr. Pacer.
Yeah, I see that a little bit.
But the problem is we all know he is Mr. Pacer, and then he did get caught. You saw him at the end. On camera, he was pointing to Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know who Reggie is and who he's rooting for and what he wants. I thought he did a good job of trying to mask it the best that he could on the broadcast, but eventually it came out.
Yeah, and it's almost like the wheels, you could feel the wheels churning a bit, to your point. It was becoming a little bit of a mechanical broadcaster where, now, listen, when we do what we do, especially when we're fired up, like the trick in this business is to be able to, I know this sounds easy, but it's not, to think before you speak.
Yeah.
Like, think about you being on a 30 or a 40-second diatribe on the air live. Like, as you're rifling through your thoughts, you're also simultaneously a half a step ahead to make sure you don't curse, to make sure you don't say something that could get you in trouble. And I feel like Reggie, an element of that last night where he was almost too much walking the line of, all right, I want to play up the big moment, but I don't want to be ridiculed. I don't want it to be too obvious who I'm here rooting for. Yeah.
The broadcast, to their credit, wasn't like last year, where last year there were a lot of flashbacks back to the Reggie Miller and Spike Lee stuff. They did not do that this year. The only thing in the end, because Halliburton hit the choke celebration.
Yeah, for sure.
That was it, which is totally understood. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Dan is calling from Garwood, New Jersey. What's up, Dan?
Guys, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Dan.
So, I'm trying to recover here. So for the longest time now with this team, for the last couple of years, I've always said that I might need to get a new cardiologist with this team. But now I'm thinking that, you know, Sal, you just said it. I now I need a therapist too. So I'm looking for a good cardiologist and a therapist at the same time. Listen, I don't know what's going on. This game, this was such there's so many fingers you could point, and so many people messed up down the end. But what really stuck out to me, a couple of things, guys, is that, first of all, I mean, you know, obviously this guy's got to go literally on fire. Like, I feel like Reggie Miller was back out there. It was insane. I mean, if he misses one of those threes, the game's over. And so that's the first thing that, you know, obviously he has to make those shots in a mind-boggling fashion. And it almost seemed like, one thing with this Knicks team, as you've seen going through the playoffs with Detroit and Boston, is in the fourth quarter, and this has been the theme of the Knicks and Tibbs, you know, tenure, is that late in games, the Knicks got the legs and the other team doesn't. The Knicks look almost like dead towards the end of the fourth, and in overtime they looked even worse. It was like, and here's the thing, guys.
Brunson was totally I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah.
Brunson was visibly exhausted. He was out of gas down the stretch in that
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I do like Tibbs. I'm not a Tibb basher. But one criticism I have of him, and it's been ongoing for a while, wasn't just last night. This guy doesn't, like, when a team goes on a run, and they start, and listen, last night wasn't even a run because the Knicks did score. I was saying, just go for two. Mm-hmm. Just hold the lead. Let them shoot the threes. And they were scoring. It was 17-6. It wasn't like it was 20-0. But, like, when teams go on runs against his Knicks team, Tibbs doesn't call timeouts, man. And it really bothers me. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Call a timeout. Get them off the floor. They're, you know, and, like, maybe if he would have called a timeout at some point there, maybe, you know, it changes up the momentum. This guy misses a three or something. He doesn't do it, and it drives me absolutely nuts.
Thanks for the call there, Dan. I think he's thank you, buddy. I think he's a little more inclined to call that timeout on the road when the crowd is starting to take over a little differently. Yeah, I mean, Tom Thibodeau did not lose them the game last night, but he could have done more to win them the game. I know that almost seems like a contradiction. Like, well, which one is it? Well, it's a little bit of everything, because you got to hold the players accountable. Clearly, there was a lot of mistakes made. The refs were bad, and Tom Thibodeau just didn't do enough to win the game.
Yeah,
he did not.
I think when you have a loss like that, you can pick any one of many things, kind of your point to start the show. Like, we could go on for an hour about each individual thing, but it was a culmination. Look, I'm telling you, from a Falcons fan perspective who watched the ultimate collapse, the worst loss in the history of the NFL, blowing that 28-3 lead, it was the same exact thing. Any one of any which play, one stop, one completion, one call that goes your way, all these things had to go the way of New England to be able to come back and win that game. And then they did so in overtime. Same thing last night. One bounce of the ball, one hand in the face, one call that goes your way, one missed shot, one made shot, one timeout, one defensive call, one substitution, one lack of, like, any one of a million little things down the stretch of that game, if it would have went the next way, they would have won the game. Unfortunately, everything went the way of the Pacers. And when you see a shot like Halliburton made, that goes up in the air. Like, dude, come on. Like, that just tells you that the sports gods, whether you believe in that nonsense or not, like, yeah. The Knicks, for whatever reason, were not meant to win that game last night, because there's no, like, they didn't play that badly that they deserved to lose that game. And then to have it end like that, or not end like that, but go to overtime, which then felt like the loss, and then in overtime, the goaltending and everything else. Like, to me, it was not the Knicks night. The sports gods had it in for them.
Did the bowl disappear from your TV screen?
I don't think that it did. I thought, I don't know, honestly.
I feel like I couldn't, now I know, there's so many things in my mind. I've seen it many times afterwards,
so I don't remember the initial.
Yeah, I feel like I could not see the ball.
I just remember it going up. What's going on? Dude, you got to remember, we're watching this in real time in disbelief at this point anyway. And when Halliburton's coming down the floor, it's like, you're not really thinking. You're just like hoping that in a few seconds from now, the ball does not go through the rim. Mm. And you're like, Thank God we escaped.
Helpless feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So it is helpless. And then he backs up and shoots it, and we're all like, no. and then it hits the rim and goes up, and you're like,
what?
You're like, what? I'm like, I still cannot believe that happened like that.
Okay, here's the good news. And I think I can do this now. It's 11-12. And again, the grievances, you wanna move the gripes. On. No. I don't think we can move on. I think it's that kind of a loss. Where to move on at 11-13 is irresponsible. There's a lot more stuff that people need to get out. And we're here for it. We're doing it all day. Evan and Tiki as well. 888-808-1019. However, just a little balance, just a little sliver of optimism as we walk this strange, strange day. It was game one. Imagine how you feel right now, exhausted, depressed, weather stinks. It's not even wet, it's cold too. Like, you're right. If the Jets were playing the Patriots in week 9 this week, I'd be like, all right, that sounds about right. But imagine if this was game 7. Imagine if game 7 ended that way. Now, back in this series, we kind of got a dose of that. A little different, not a massive lead that dissipated. When Patrick missed the finger roll all those years ago, when he mistimed his jump and didn't know if he should dunk or lay it in, hit the back rim and it left out, and the Knicks lost. Like, there was nothing to do after that. Pat Riley, you could actually see Pat walking off the court saying, all right, I took him as far as I can go. This team is done, and I'm leaving. Right. And he did. Right? So think about that, and now think about this. At least the recourse is, whenever we get there, today, tonight, tomorrow, emotionally, we can recalibrate, and we can get back in with the real belief that there's at least 3 more games to go, and in all probability, 6.
Right.
So there's still a lot of room to go.
This will be forgotten if the Knicks win game 2, and then we could start to move on, and then if they win the series, then you will forget about it.
Yep.
I shouldn't say that, because we still haven't forgotten about the Reggie Miller incident, even though the Knicks won that series.
Well, I have. Honestly, they didn't keep shoving it down my throat.
No,
I wouldn't think about it that much.
How could you
ever think about it?
Because it was just an astonishing defeat.
I know it was, but we won. And by the way, at least Reggie, give him some credit here. He said, hey, if there was replay when I was playing like that, that sequence wouldn't have counted when he shoved Greg to the floor. Like, you know, I thought he was pretty good. But, yeah, again, I don't think about Reggie until Reggie pops up on my screen, honestly. I respect him. I like his broadcasting chops. I think he's interesting. I think he's got a little presence and flavor. But, like, the Reggie choke with Spike, why would I think about that? Well, I don't.
Also, the series, dude, it was such an impactful.
I know, but if they didn't show it to you, would you really think about it?
I remember watching it in real time. Being devastated and in shock. I could not believe what happened. Now, the result is the Knicks ended up winning that series, so it's fine. But I also tie it in kind of to the following year with the Ewing finger roll. For some reason, the bad ones stick with you more than the good ones make you feel good.
Yes.
Like, that finger roll is, I'll never get over that. Last night's loss, like I said, we can move on from it. It's not going to be a main talking point, assuming the Knicks win game 2 and go on to win this series. But I don't know how you ever forget that bleeping feeling.
You don't. You all I'm saying is this, like the Reggie choke back in the day versus Patrick finger roll to me, I mean, there's not even close. I like the scale of damage is Patrick.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but do you think about that,
that
as much?
That one more. No,
think about Reggie with the chokes on because they keep shoving it down your throat. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Mike, fair point. Mike is in Bayshore. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
BT, Sal. What's going on, guys?
How are you, Mike?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, last night reminded me why I want to retire as a sports fan. I got to go from watching that to watching Judge drop a pop fly in the fifth inning of the World Series. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's just, you get from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, you know?
You know, it's a good point, Mike. BT, we should do this later on. We gave us some time to think about it. We haven't done a power up in a while.
Yeah.
How about power up, worst five losses in our sports fandom? And the reason why it could be different is because you're a Yankee fan, obviously, Jeff. I could give you my five from my fandom's perspective. You could give us your five. And I'd be curious to see where last night or other Nick losses stack up in that five overall. There have been some bad ones.
Yeah.
He referenced the Yankees game five last year.
Some
obviously,
Jet
a hideous
ones.
One. Yeah.
I mean,
you good for that one?
Yeah.
Think?
I mean, the challenge is coming up with only five. I can give you 25. I'll give you 25 in 2 seconds.
All right, so we'll
fake
power
spike,
up later
broken
on.
Bat base hit, 2001 World Series. I'll tell you, even St. John's, Arkansas a couple of months ago.
There you go.
You know, I thought that was going to be extra special. Here's the bottom line, guys. When we get to this point, this is the risk that we run, and I said this to you yesterday. This is the risk that we run when we're relevant. The easiest thing is to be a 23, 24, 27-win team, or even worse, like 17 back in the day. What are we going to get Zion? Is the lottery ball going to bounce our way? Like, and no disrespect, like Evan and Mets fans right now, they have no real, even though he's emotional, like no emotional connection to the basketball season. We do. That's amazing until amazing becomes hurt.
I know, but I'd be lying to you if I said, and I know I was irrational last night in the moment, but I was thinking, give me the 17 win seasons all day long. I can't take that.
I don't believe that.
I was just thinking it. I didn't tweet it necessarily or go out there and say, but I was thinking that. Now, do I really want that? Probably not, but last night was so, that's what I'm saying. It's not just, playoff losses hurt. That type of loss, that's a devastating blow that ruins, like if I were younger, that would ruin my week.
I'm with you on that. The age does matter a little bit, I think.
And even last night, I did lose. Like I saw your tweet about, like, you know, not much sleep tonight. And it's true. Younger me, I would not have been able to sleep, period. Last night, I was sitting up for maybe an hour after we're trying to process what the hell just happened. And, like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I remember with the Falcons lost, the Super Bowl loss, like, hours just watching, rewatching the replay, like, in disbelief.
That was your fault that day.
Because I jinxed it, you're saying?
Didn't you? Who'd you watch the game with?
Yeah, I know. My wife brought over her friend. And
right.
Yeah,
you told me the whole vibe was roots. You're not even a football fan.
I know. And then at halftime, I said, I'm feeling like a champ. I mean, yesterday, I'm sure Nick fans, you had callers calling up today saying they were texting their buddies. We got game one. Everybody was feeling the same way last night for the most. You didn't think they were losing that game?
I got to admit something.
Oh,
as this
no.
crushes me
oh.
to say this.
Oh, I like this. What do you got?
So.
Oh, no.
I mean, the lessons that you teach your kids are obvious, right? I don't know how this happened last night. I forget the exact point. I think it was after a cat bucket. I go game.
I go game.
Right? And he stayed up to watch the whole thing. Right before he walks up, he goes, "It's never over till it's over." I go, "Oh, Jesus. Wow.
At the end of it, Cole comes to you and says that?
He was next to me when I said game. I said game to him.
And right then he said it's never over?
No, after it.
That's even worse.
I know.
Student teaching
the
teacher in that regard.
If that's what it equates to, I'll take it. I will not make that mistake again. And I'm not a jinx person. And the way he said it, too. And I'm like, man, yeah, daddy messed up, man. I wish I could take that one back. I didn't say it like cocky. I really didn't. I wasn't like, game. Like, I was just like, game. We're good. All right. Because I was getting a little nervous. Like, that was like my way of stabilizing the emotions.
Right. I remember the bucket you're talking about. Because we felt the same way. Okay, as long as they score one here, they should
just
be good to go.
Just give me one. There was no fist pump. There was no declaration outside of game. Like, it wasn't like some haughty, you know.
You called
like,
game.
Oh, look at us, y'all. I just said very calmly, game. Got it. Like, stabilize the moment.
I love that young Colt went to you afterward and said, it's never over till it's over then.
Yeah. And I can promise you he did not get that from Yogi.
No,
like, he knows Babe Ruth and Manta. I'm not sure. I'm sure he's got Yankee books. He didn't say it because Yogi said it. He said it because Daddy messed up.
I love it. I mean, I hate the result, but I love that he called you out like that. Good job, Colt. Yeah. Bad job, you.
Yeah, I hear you.
BT and Sal on the Fan Bowl. Your calls. We come back. 888-808-1019.
Have you heard about the lonesome loser beaten by
this is actually a great song.
Every time.
I don't know if I love hearing it today, but it's a good song.
Sticks?
No, no, it's not Sticks. Hold on. This is...
He's a loser, but he still keeps on trying.
You don't know this? You got to hear at least hear the good part. This is getting revved up again.
I'm waiting for the good part.
I know. Starts a little depressing, a little slow. Come on, get us there. Let's go. Come on.
You know,
it's not the instrumental part.
Not my type.
Yeah,
it's not my type.
Yeah.
Not going to kick in at some point.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Bam, bam, bam. Take a look at yourself.
Who is it?
Who is it?
I forgot. Little River Band.
That's right.
Oh, I'm out.
Sometimes somebody's gonna see.
Here we go.
We're good. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019.
All right, let me hit with the Yankee lineup real quick here. Yankees, by the way, before I do that, how about this quick stat? I mean, baseball, nobody has stats like baseball. Last night's Yankees first the walk-off win last night was their first since September 2022. Do you know that there was a 974-day walk-off home run drought by the Yankees, which was the longest in baseball? I mean, I would if you said, pick a team. I don't know, Pirates, Reds, some other teams. But the Yankees actually had that distinction, but that is now gone.
I saw somebody tweet that last night.
You did?
And I was surprised.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right? All right, today's lineup. Grisham 1, Judge 2, Bellinger. Bellinger getting hot, by the way. Goldie in the fourth spot. Dominguez with the walk-off bomb last night, playing left, batting fifth. Volpe at short. Escobar behind the dish. Vivas at second. And Oswald Peraza is over third, bat ninth. Carlos Rodon on the hill.
And most importantly, the weather, right? You're saying that you and Dove were talking about before. Looks like there's going to be a window to get that in.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be a pretty lengthy window. Now, right around 3:30 or 4, probably going to start raining again up in the Bronx. But it looks like they got a couple of hours. And, you know, maybe there's a stoppage. Maybe there's an interruption. Maybe there's a condensed game. But I think you're going to get some baseball in today, yeah.
BT and Sal on the Fan. One other thing that I saw on social media last night throughout the course of the game was, you know, there's a lot of people out at the Knick game, the celebs and the former Knicks, and too many people in my timeline were tweeting out, and it wasn't just like individuals, I forget, it was like, you know, places or whatever, media places, Knicks legends so-and-so at the game, and they put up a picture of Ewing, Melo, Stoudemire, J.R. Smith. Like, dude, there's only one legend in that group.
Yeah.
No offense, like, I'm not trying to be rude here. But you can't just use the term legend loosely like that. There's no chance in hell. Like, you want to debate Carmelo. I guess it's up for debate. I don't think he's a Knick legend. I know you don't.
No.
But at least I could understand that it could be a conversation. Mm-hmm. To some, he might be a legend. There is no debating that J.R. Smith is not a Knicks legend. Amari Stoudemire. I love Stoudemire more than Melo.
Me too.
He's not a Knicks legend.
Yeah, get a little loose with the terminology here.
Dude, and it's disrespectful to Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
How could you picture those four guys, Knicks legends, Patrick Ewing, and blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't even say LJ is a Knicks legend, although I think that you could make that case.
Legendary moments, you can kind of push the Allen Houston off the front rim and in, Marcus Camby, get to the finals.
All right, so give me your, like, Bernard King.
Absolutely.
Ewing.
Absolutely.
Who else would be in there?
I mean, again, I wouldn't put Carmelo there, but I can understand why some would.
Starks?
Knicks legend, I would not put Starks in there.
Now, I love John Starks. I know you do. With all my heart. I have a hard time saying he was a Knicks legend, although I think you can make a case to those legendary Knicks teams in the 90s that maybe you say Oakley, Starks, but really, okay, fine.
DeBuscher?
Clyde. Right.
You know, Bradley, probably Bradley, yeah. And of course Clyde, and of course, You know, you said Willis. Bernard. I got you. That's what I. There's not many. I mean, there's a reason why you've got this gap. I mean, listen, if Bernard King is out there sitting with Darryl Walker, Rory Sparrow, and Bill Cartwright, there better be one legend of the group. That would be Bernard King.
That was kind of my point.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm sensitive to it, but come on now.
I am too.
Knicks legends, J.R. Smith, yeah, Tim Thomas, Stephon Marr. Give me a break. There's only one legend in that picture, and it's the big fella. Gio is calling from Oceanside. What's up, Gio? Gio? Okay, Adam is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
Oh, what's up, guys? Not much sleep. Very tired. Listen, you know, I'm going to give you a couple of bad things, a couple of good things. First, the bad things real quick. Tibbs is, he went, you know, SOP last night, and that bothered me, and it bothered me in real time. You got McBride and Robinson in the game. They go on a 14-0 run. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave him in until you have to bring in Brunson because he has five fouls. He's a bad defender with five fouls, which means there's no defense whatsoever. So that was the first thing that really irked me. And the second thing, and this is the game, and I've seen it a million times, hit your damn free throws. Hit your free throws. You had OG, Towns, and Brunson all miss key free throws in the last couple of minutes that make that last shot irrelevant if they just hit the damn free throws. Now, the good things. BT, you just said it. It's game one, not game six, thank God. Right? Mm-hmm. So game one, you could recover from. The choke sign, that's another good thing. You know why? Because they lost that series. And they're going to lose this one, too, for the choke sign. And it's going to give the Knicks a little extra motivation. JB's going to go to the film today. He's going to see all the mistakes he made. And he's going to correct himself because he is a superstar. He's not going to be turning over the ball like that again. They are going to recover from this, and I'm calling it now. They're going to open the can of whoop-ass on him tomorrow. That's what's going to happen. They're going to open the can, even series, splitting Indy. I'm still sticking. Knicks and six, Knick Nation, relax.
There you go. Attaboy.
Adam, positive. Well, I mean, now look, that's a great prediction. It better happen. And Adam was very positive yesterday when he called us before the game and before the series. So I respect trying to stick to that positive nature and positive feel. I don't believe there's any positives to take from last night when you lose a game like that. Me personally.
Well, okay. I mean, the positive that you have to take away from it is that for most of the game, the Knicks imposed their will on the Pacers. I think it was pretty identifiable, and I remember saying this yesterday, like one of the biggest advantages is the Knicks' ability to rebound, which leads to more possessions, which could offset, not last night, but should in theory offset some threes that the Pacers will make as a high-volume kind of team. I think the Knicks bench played better. Obviously, I mean, Campaign hadn't scored a bucket since he went nuts against the Detroit Pistons.
He's still a wild man out there.
He is, and I think his shot selection's off. Listen, sometimes he takes shots, and I'm saying the only way that you can justify him taking that shot is if Tom Thibodeau and the coaching staff has impressed upon him, listen, your role is to come in and fire immediately. Right. Like, your green light, go, whether you're hot, throw up a heat check. If you're not hot, make yourself hot. We'll try to shoot until you get yourself hot here. But the Knicks are a better rebounding team. And, you know, the one thing that I do really worry about, and Jalen Brunson did a lot right last night, and again, not to initiate, is he truly a superstar? He is, man. But I feel like, you know, he puts himself in these positions of vulnerability more than any other superstar that I've seen. Like, and I don't mean just flopping on the floor. I don't mean that. I thought there were a few times he got knocked off his mark. They should have blew the whistle. They didn't. Maybe it's a thing where he just doesn't get the respect that true superstars are supposed to get.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that. I mean, Brunson was
not
good.
He gets shouldered quite a bit, and they let him keep going.
He wasn't good from three last night. He was gassed down the stretch. The foul trouble, those are all sloppy with the basketball. How many turns did he get? Seven.
Six, right? Seven? That's bad.
Like, we're watching in real time. I did not look at the box score until just now. Seven turnovers. Like,
seven? And he very easily could add eight on the inbounds when he spiked it in the ground. I mean, it's a heads-up play. Yeah. He was trying to knock it off the Pacers' knee because he was running out of time on the inbounds with 5 seconds there, and I think that one went to OG, but that could have been number eight.
Yeah, and even the one to Hart where Hart slipped there.
Good recovery. Yep.
The other thing, Adam talked about the free throws there. If the Knicks go 28 of 40 from the free throw line and Mitchell Robinson is only 0 of 2, that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
And OG, to me, was probably the main culprit. All right, Brunson missed a couple, but he was 12 of 14. Like, he can't go nuts.
It's fine.
All right, Cat missed a couple, but 9 of 11, can't go nuts. OG Anunoby, specifically the one down the stretch, but he was 2 of 4 on the night. That's 50% free throw shooting for a guy who's like 3 of 4 would have been bad enough for him. You've got to hit that one extra free throw. That makes a huge difference.
And I don't know how he lost the handle on that would-be dunk. That was a beautiful full-court pass by Towns. Well, I do know, and I think Reggie said it, he was in between. You know, am I going to dunk it or am I going to lay it in? You know, listen, as much as the refs were, I think, a little unkind in terms of a whistle to the net.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got away with some stuff as well. On top and on that dunk, he got fouled. That was so clear. That should have been an N1. We can pick this thing apart as we have and will continue to do. I still see a lot of positives. I think the Knicks are slightly better.
Vinny is on Long Island. What's up, Vin?
Hey, guys. What's going on today? How are you?
Hey, Vinny.
Not bad. What's up?
So, listen, I got to say, I'm not overly angry. I'm more disappointed. And the reason I'm disappointed is because we let this one slip through our fingers. The team, they had them. We took their best shot. Their offense was on point, probably even more so than it usually is, and we let them have it. It was a little sloppy at the end. They got to kind of clean that up, whether it be the getting the pass inbounds or the fall on the floor and the missing on the free throws. Like, that's going to get cleaned up. I said if they lose game two, which I don't think they're going to.
Vinny, hold on a sec, though. Vinny, let me challenge you here. Now, I think they're going to clean some things up, but you talk about the inbounds and their ability to get it in clean and run their set. It's going to get cleaned up. What are they waiting for? It's the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's been disjointed most of the season. Like, they don't do that well at all.
No, you're right, and it's crazy. And we were talking, you know, the last call was talking about motivate them. You're right. They shouldn't need that type of motivation. And for Halliburton to kind of make that chokehold, I like him a lot, too. He's a likable guy. He's not like Trae Young in Atlanta, who looks like sheer evil. Like, I know that guy's not, but, you know, he's not likable. This guy's likable, and he just shot his shoot on that chokehold. He poked the bear. You poked the sleeping bear. And we took a little bit of our medicine. Hopefully they can learn where the Boston Celtics didn't and take advantage and say, holy cow, they're not playing around. They're going to give us their best shot. Till the last second falls, we can't be complacent. We got to go at them again in game two. They're going to take two. I'm confident they're going to win the series, but hopefully they can learn from their mistake.
You know, the one thing that I would take, good call, Vinny. The one thing that I would take, and there's a lot there that I agree with, the Knicks' sentiment after the game last night to me was the perfect tone, where Brunson would say, you don't want to go too nuts after a win. You don't want to go too nuts after a loss. Even keel, taking accountability. Hart talking about it. We played not to lose. I think that those are all real things. It's one game in the series. And I really believe it with this group. They've been battle-tested before. They've gone through adversity. So if there is any group that I trust to respond from a gut-wrenching, disgusting, inexplicable loss like that, it would be this group. And I do have faith that they're going to come back and win game number two. I just think over the course of a series, sometimes you don't play bad. You don't play well and you lose a game.
Yes.
When you do play well and you earn the right to win that game. Those wins are hard to come by. They're going to have to outplay them 5 times because they've already done it once and lost.
Yes.
So to get the 4 wins, they have to do it 5 of a 7-game series.
Well, think about his demeanor after they beat the Celtics there. And I remember saying on Monday when we came in and talked about the Friday night, you know, ass-whipping that they put on the Celtics, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have minded seeing Jalen Brunson a little more enthusiastic, you know? I remember saying that to you, and I'm like, he just, give us a little more. But I also get it. You know, it wasn't a criticism. It was just like, hey, you could revel a little bit. But that emotional consistency and maturity will serve this team very well after last night. Like, if he would have been flying high after beating the Celtics with still, you know, 8 more wins to get before you get a championship, you know, maybe he would have been inclined to be a little bit of a set the wrong tone after a bad, devastating loss like last night. So I think the balance that he projects, and even Tom Thibodeau, I watched his press conference. I don't think he had a good game coaching, but I think the messaging post-game was good. Mm-hmm. Knicks will be ready tomorrow night.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls when we come back. We're going to do the power rankings. We'll power up at 1240. Worst losses in our sports fandom. It's Sal back on the fan on this Thursday morning trying to recover from a devastating game one loss for the Knicks. And BT, I know you just stumbled across something on social media here as it was going down on the Knicks bench toward the end of that game.
Yeah, a lot of people sent me this here in the last 15, 20 minutes or so. I didn't see this last night. I don't know how we didn't see this. Maybe it was just quickly going to break. I don't know. Either way, Knicks are up 123-118, 34 seconds to go. There's a timeout. Cat's already on the bench. I'm going to take you through this frame by frame. OG Anunoby walks through thoroughly. He's like pleading. Cat's sitting down, OG standing over him, and Cat's looking the other way. It's just not good body language. Right, not even looking at him.
Can you give me the... I'm going to just pull up the game log real quick. I want you to give me the exact...
123-118.
Okay, this is the fourth quarter with how much time left?
34, exactly. 34.0.
Okay, so 34.0. So I'm trying to figure out what happened before that.
Okay, so you want to do it now, or you want me to take you through the whole thing and then tell me?
No, go ahead. You could go through the whole thing right now. I just wanted to make sure where we're at with 34. Well, maybe I should give it to you. All right, so 34 seconds to go. So with 41 seconds to go, Cat made a 2-point cutting layup.
Mm-hmm.
34 seconds ago, Naismith came down, hit a number three.
Okay, so this is over a missed defensive assignment, as I obviously thought. Okay. That's usually what it would be over. All right, so they go to the bench, going to timeout. Towns sits down. OG walks over, pleading it with him. And OG's very cool, but very aggressive here for him. And Cat's like kind of too cool for school. Look at the other way. All right, now as I fast forward, now Cat engages him. Anunoby does not like what he says, and he kind of barks at him a little bit. He sits down frustratedly. Mitchell Robinson now intervenes a little bit with both guys, pats them both on the shoulders like, guys, we're good. Now he's imploring them. Now it's Mitch's turn to kind of get going. Now Jalen Brunson comes and sits down, doesn't know what's going on yet. He just sits down next to OG on OG's left. Josh Hart keeps walking down, and now Mikal Bridges, now they're still barking at each other. Cat doing most of the barking, OG kind of listening. Bridges sits in between both of these guys to try to loosen them up a little bit. And now Brunson grabs OG, pulls him by the shoulder, pulls him toward him. Relax, we're good, take it easy. Towns is still barking. Brunson stands up and yells something at Cat. I'm sure it's just like, guys, we're good. I'm not saying he's dissing Cat. I'm sure it's like, no, we're good, relax, we got it, we're good, focus, we're good. But this is definitely as animated as I've ever seen Brunson as ever seen OG, and as animated as I've ever seen Karl Anthony Towns as a teammate.
Yeah, maybe. Now, I don't remember seeing that on the broadcast. I don't remember them making a big deal about it at all. Maybe this is just something that's common. I remember, watching basketball games for years. You've seen some of the stuff after a frustrating defensive sequence. You come on the bench as a timeout, guys yelling at each other a little bit. To me, though, what I was watching when we were watching that during the break and knowing what was going on as they're collapsing, they're in the midst of a collapse, to lose your cool like that would be somewhat concerning. Brunson then came out, and that was when he turned the ball over. They had the Pacers challenge it and got the call right.
Yep. Off his fingertips, sure.
Yeah, and obviously things from there just went sideways for the Knicks as well. So in the midst of a collapse and losing their cool on the bench with multiple guys.
Listen, again, they're grown men. They're big boys. They're all tight. It's not going to be an issue moving forward. But to me, it speaks to not just that defensive breakdown. I think that was building because there was just too many open threes.
Yeah, exactly right. Somebody get on this guy.
Yeah.
Stop him. And it looked like Towns was the culprit for whatever reason, at least according to Anunoby. All right, Scott is calling from Marlboro, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Scotty.
Brutal night last night, obviously, but BT, you'll appreciate this. I was watching the game with my daughter last night. She's become like a diehard like Knicks fan. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like that. She's like, I didn't have a good feeling. I'm like, relax, we're up by 9 a minute to go. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, this is over. And she was right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
smarter
just like
than we are, these kids.
It's unbelievable. But the one thing that frustrates me with this team, what's with they're guarding the 3-pointer? I mean, they got to do some. Thibodeau's got to adjust something.
Been an issue
I don't
all
know
year.
Why they can't defend the three.
Been an issue all year.
Yeah.
But Scotty, you know why?
Yeah.
Because when you're a well-coached team with good offensive weapons like the Celtics have, I know they didn't. They got hurt, but the Pacers have those guys. The Pistons didn't, which is why the Knicks were able to kind of coach around that. But when you deploy 3, 4, 5 shooters and there's good spacing and ball movement, and you've got Brunson and Cat out there the majority of the time, you can exploit that defensively. That is a layup to a coach.
That's the problem. I mean, we know what it is. That's the problem. But that's why OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges were supposed to help offset that. Obviously, Mitchell Robinson, when he's out there as well. And while Mitch had his impact mainly on the boards last night, defensively, I don't think he did a great job. So it's a tough matchup for him where the Pacers are going to play on the perimeter a lot of the times. But either way, when you have Bridges playing as poorly as he did down the stretch defensively, that to me was a big issue. I know Karl Anthony Towns not going to be a good defensive player. I know Jalen Brunson, especially when he's in foul trouble, but we know he's not a great defensive player. Mikal Bridges is supposed to shut down Halliburton. One, forget all the stuff that led up to it. Came down to one possession. Knicks had a two-point lead. Halliburton has the ball. Bridges was on skates, nowhere to be found, and Halliburton got a wide-open look, which he thought was a three, turned out to be the game-tying two to send it to overtime. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, reset, down with the king topic of the day. Of course, the devastating loss that the Knicks suffered last night in Game 1 at Madison Square Garden, 888-808-1019.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.